Our reading from Holy Scripture is Psalm 16, the 16th Psalm. And our text this evening will be the last verse of the Psalm, verse 11. We will read the entire Psalm. Preserve me, O God, for in Thee do I put my trust. O my soul, Thou hast said unto the Lord, Thou art my God, Thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to Thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad. And my glory rejoiceth, my flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Here we end our reading of God's holy word. We take as our text verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. People of God, the 16th Psalm is a psalm that is very familiar to us, and a psalm that is very dear to many of us. And that is understandable because this psalm is a psalm of joy and hope. A psalm that brims with the joy of a believing heart, moved by the work of God for him. Now, when we begin reading this psalm, it begins with a cry, a prayer to God for help. Preserve me, David, the author, says. Preserve me, O God, for in Thee do I put my trust. And this first verse of the psalm has led many to believe that David at this time in his life was facing some grave trial or some peril, such that his life perhaps was even threatened. However, the fact is we simply don't know, nor need we know, because that's not what the psalm is about. Though it does set the tone of trust in God and the joy of the believing heart, joy that is connected and arises from the believer's hope, hope in God, hope that is described most beautifully in the last few verses of the psalm, verses 9 through 11. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. There David states what is his hope by faith? And his hope is that the grave, the pit of hell as it is described, is not his ultimate end. That though the fearsome reality of death will one day face him, death, decay, and separation from God is not his final abode. But as David says in the text, thou wilt show me the path of life. and therefore my flesh rests in hope. Under the inspiration of the Spirit, this is what David has penned for you and for me and for all of Christ's people throughout the ages. An expression of the Christian's hope, a hope for life after death, an extraordinary hope, and a hope that would be utterly impossible to believe if it were not for the fact that the words of our text are not first of all David's words, but the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 16 is a messianic psalm. And the words that we have just read are first of all the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that from Acts chapter 2. Let us turn there for a moment. Recall that in Acts chapter 2, there is recorded for us the events of Pentecost, and especially the first sermon that Peter preached to the assembled multitude there in Jerusalem, in which sermon he explained to them the wonder that they had just witnessed, the speaking of tongues among the disciples gathered there in Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit had been poured out. The Holy Spirit of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. And in that sermon on Pentecost, the Apostle Peter quotes the words of our text. And so we turn to Acts 2 and read, beginning at verse 22. There Peter preaches, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you, by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance." And then Peter goes on to explain that those very words of the psalmist David do not first and foremost apply to him because, after all, David died and his grave was with them to that day. But the greater than David, the Lord Jesus Christ, the man who descended into the grave but who was taken by God out of that grave by the wonder of the resurrection and granted the blessing of everlasting life beyond death for us and for all who belong to Him. And that is the significance of this psalm for us, people of God. It sets before us our hope, the hope we have in Jesus Christ for everlasting life. So let us consider this text under the theme, Our Hope for Life After Death. Notice in the first place, our present hope. Secondly, its divine fulfillment. And finally, our future joy. Our present hope, its divine fulfillment, our future joy. David expresses hope in this passage, and his hope is hope in the face of death. My flesh shall rest in hope. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Thou wilt show me the path of life. Death. Death, which is our greatest and our final enemy. Death, which is a horrible, horrible reality. As it is described in verse 10, as the pit of hell, as corruption, as decay. Death is horrible because, first of all, it is the penalty of God for sin. It is the execution of the curse that God pronounced on man after his fall into sin. It is the agent of his judgment upon sinful man. Death banishes. It banishes man from the presence of God, casts him away, alienates him from the fellowship of God. A horrible reality. The expression of God's wrath. And this horrible reality of death, in the second place, is a painful reality. It is painful because it is unnatural. It is a violent ending of life, the life that God has created. Death tears us. It tears us apart from all that we know in this life. It tears our relationships apart as a loved one dies and is no longer with us. And it tears us apart in the very heart of who we are, tearing body and soul apart. A painful, horrible reality. A painful and horrible reality that is also inescapable. Inescapable. We live in a world that is dying. This life is nothing but a continual death. Under the curse of God, all things perish. They wane, they age, they fall apart. Our bodies return to the dust. There is no escape from the painful and horrible reality of death. And the horror of death is made all the greater when it's contrasted with what life is. God created us to live. And whereas death is banishment from God's presence, life is living in His presence and enjoying His fellowship. Life is joyful and sweet. Life. God made man perfect, able to live forever. There was no death in the beginning. But in sin, we have brought this horrible, painful reality upon ourselves. And now every one of us born into this world one day must face the grim face of death. But David says, in the face of that death, I have hope. And my hope is this, that my God will show me the path of life. Even though that death is inescapable, even though one day I shall die, God will show me to life. The path of life. The word path there is a figure for our life in this world. All of us are on a path, a way, a road. And this path begins at birth. And all through our life in this world, we are traversing the distance of that path from our birth to that path's end. And the end of that path is, of course, our death. We all tread the path of death. We are born corrupt and sinful. We are born dying. And apart from the grace of God, the path of this life leads to death, and after that death, the second death of everlasting punishment and desolation in hell. That's our path. The path of death. But David says, no, thou wilt show me the path of life, meaning the path that leads to life. And that is his confession of faith. A startling confession. Because his experience tells him the opposite. He knows that he will die. He knows where his sins cause him to deserve to go. And yet he says, the end of my life's journey is life. Life. And how can David have this wonderful hope? Through faith. Through faith. Faith that knows. Faith that knows God Himself will show the path of life. That God shows us the path of life means three things especially. In the first place, it means that even as we journey and walk through this life, as we are on our pilgrim's journey, God reveals to us the way that leads to life. Apart from God's revelation of that path, we would never find it. Apart from God's revelation, we are spiritually blind. We cannot see the light. But by His Word, He reveals the way of life. His Word is the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path. His Holy Spirit applies that Word to our hearts and leads us down that path of life. And that is what it means in the second place. God shows us the path of life. He reveals it to us. But then He guides us down that path. We are lost, straying sheep. But the Good Shepherd comes, and with His rod and His staff, He guides us. Our Good Shepherd calls, and we hear His voice, and we come. Our Good Shepherd guides us through the valley of the shadow of death, leads us up out of that valley unto life and light. God shows the path of life. He reveals it in His Word. He guides us by that Word. And in that, He causes us, already here and now, to experience a foretaste of that life with Him. And having that experience by faith, that rich knowledge, that assured confidence, we have hope for the future. That there is life at the end of our path. That is our present hope that we have by faith. But we would have no hope at all if there was not a divine fulfillment of the words of our text. There would be no hope at all if there was not Christ, who first walked the path of life for us. There would be no hope at all if there was not Christ, who walked the path of death for us, and whom God first showed the path of life. Christ, who is the fulfillment of our passage. Christ, God sent into our world of death. He came down from heaven. He was incarnate of the Holy Ghost. He was born of the Virgin Mary. And He walked among us. He walked the path of death. He became subject to all of the miseries of our lives. He became subject to the afflictions and the consequences of sin, though He had no sin Himself. He walked as a man of sorrows. He experienced the horror, the pain, and the inescapableness of death as He walked with the consciousness that His life, His path, would one day end at Calvary, where death waited, and where the fullness of God's wrath for the sins of His people would be poured upon His shoulders, and where He would bear the fullness of God's wrath to the very end. But our Lord Jesus went down that path of death to the cross with this hope, that Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, nor wilt Thou suffer Thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. And with that hope, our Lord Jesus willingly went to the cross and died and suffered for us. He walked the path of death that all of us should walk. And He entered the grave. But that grave was not the end. Because on the third day, God called His beloved Son forth. And God showed Him the path of life. God did not suffer His Holy One to see corruption. And God raised the Lord Jesus Christ out of the grave, not just unto this earthly life, but unto heavenly, immortal, everlasting, imperishable life. death could not hold him, for he had satisfied the justice of God. The grave burst open, and death was swallowed up in victory. God raised our Lord Jesus Christ to his right hand in glory, where he enjoys the fullness of fellowship and joy with Father and Spirit forevermore. The Lord Jesus walked the path of death and was shown the path of life. And he did it all for you and for all of the elect children of God. We who are united to him by faith, who are connected to him by that bond that the Holy Spirit has established, the work of grace, so that when the Lord Jesus Christ died, he died as our head, as our representative. So it is that in Scripture we read that we died with him. And when the Lord God raised Jesus from the dead, he raised the Lord Jesus as our head, as our representative. And we are risen with Christ. Everything that is Christ's is ours. The very resurrection life of the Lord Jesus Christ has been planted in your heart when you are regenerated by the Holy Spirit, so that though we live in the world of death, we have everlasting, imperishable life. And though our bodies die, the life that is in us cannot die. At the hour of our death, it is the old man of sin that dies, the new man in Christ is quickened and freed from its bondage. Christ is the first fruits from the dead, and in him we are shown the path of life. We have been raised from the dead spiritually. And in the day of the Lord, our bodies too shall be raised, and we too shall be exalted to the right hand of God and enjoy the fullness of life in heaven. That is our hope. That is our hope in Christ Jesus. And that hope is what gives us comfort as we turn from these glorious truths and again stare into the face of death. Every one of us is touched by death. How many of us have already faced the loss of a loved one? And perhaps there are some who, in the Lord's good blessing, have not experienced that yet, but the day will come. And the pain is so severe. The loss is so great. But God does not leave his holy ones in hell. He does not suffer them to see corruption. He shows them the path of life. And that, people of God, is our comfort as we deal with grief. And when the day comes when we lose a loved one, God has shown that loved one the path of life. He has received that believing brother or that believing sister into the fullness of everlasting life. And this is our comfort when the day of our own death comes. That day will come for each and every one of us. We do not know when. It may be soon. It may be in the future far, but it will come. And when we lay upon death's bed, what is our comfort? It's being able to say with the psalmist, "Thou wilt show me the path of life." It is to say with the psalmist, "I know that thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. Thou wilt not suffer me to see corruption. That thou wilt give me the fullness of joy at thy right hand in Christ Jesus." And this confession is ours. It is ours, our comfort in the face of death. And this transforms then how we look at death. Death remains that horrible, painful inescapable reality. But that horrible, painful, inescapable reality has lost its sting. It's been swallowed up in victory. And so, in a sense, we can even say that we anticipate the day of our death. Not because we have some morbid desire to die, not because we so despise this life that God has called us to live in this world, but because we know that the life that waits beyond the grave is so exceeding better than the life that we now live. We say with Paul in Philippians 1:23, I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Far better. Death is our servant. It's the servant of God to bring us to everlasting life. It's but the doorway through which we pass into life everlasting. And so we have hope and comfort in the face of death, such that the day of our death, we can even say to be our finest day, for on that day, we receive the fullness of life, life of which this life is but the dimmest, dimmest reflection. This life everlasting, is a joyful life. That is what we discover in the last part of our text. In the last two phrases of verse 11, where David describes everlasting life as fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. That is our future joy, the joy of life everlasting. And now to understand this, what is going on in this passage, it is helpful to understand a little bit about the poetry of this psalm. If we look at verse 11, the two final phrases, in thy presence is fullness of joy, at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Those two phrases are describing the end of the first phrase. Thou wilt show me the path of life. They're expanding upon and adding a new layer of meaning to that word life. So that if we ask, what is the life about which the text is speaking? The life is fullness of joy in God's presence, pleasures forevermore at His right hand. That is everlasting life. Fullness of joy in the presence of God. That phrase, in thy presence, we can literally translate it, before thy face. Before thy face. God's face reveals what is in His heart. In the Holy Scriptures, when God turns His face away from someone, that is an expression of His anger and His displeasure, His disfavor. But when He turns His face toward a man, it is the expression of His love and of His favor and of His blessing. Think of the Old Testament blessing. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord cause His face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Everlasting life is fullness of joy before the face of God. It's fellowship with God face to face. Covenant fellowship that brings abiding satisfaction of heart. It's beholding God in the face of Jesus Christ, of speaking to Him as a friend speaks to a friend, walking with Him and talking with Him as Adam and Eve did in the garden in the cool of the day. Fullness of joy before the face of God, our everlasting life, our life after death. But there's more. There's more. Fullness of joy before God's presence and pleasures forevermore at His right hand. Pleasures. The text could also be translated sweetnesses. And that expresses the sweetness that characterizes this joy and fellowship that God's people will have in life everlasting with God in the face of Jesus Christ. It is life that is supremely sweet, pleasurable. It is not hollow and fleeting like the pleasures of sin. It is not empty and vain as all the pleasures of this life which pass away. But it is true pleasure that abides. Pleasures that are given by God, that come from His right hand, the hand of His favor upon His people. Pleasures that truly satisfy. Can you imagine it? David here prophetically gives us a glimpse of heaven. He gives us a glimpse of what our life shall be. Joy, pleasures, fellowship, communion. There's no mention of grief. There's no mention of sorrow. There is no tears. It's the glory of perfect life with God. And it's ours in Christ Jesus our Lord through His work for us on Calvary's cross. Our Lord who liberated us from death and was granted to us immortal life. Are you living in this hope? Do you find comfort in this certain hope as you walk through this life? As you walk as a pilgrim and stranger, as you face death, may the Lord God Almighty strengthen us so to live, that we might rest and find peace, that even in the day and in the hour of our death, we might have this very confession upon our lips for His glory. Amen. Heavenly Father, we give Thee our most hearty thanks. We give Thee our thanks because Thou hast called us to be Thine own sons and daughters. Thou hast granted us glorious salvation in Christ Jesus our Lord, whom Thou didst send into our world of death to walk death's pathway, and thereby to free us from death and to grant to us the blessing of life forevermore. Life that is fullness of joy before Thy face and pleasures forevermore at Thy right hand. Hold us fast in this hope, Father, that we might endure all of the afflictions of this life, that we might be comforted when we are touched by death, that we might yearn more and more for the coming of Thy Son, Jesus Christ, in the beginning of Thy everlasting kingdom, when all things will be made new, and when we shall enjoy forevermore the glories of life eternal. Hear us in mercy for Jesus' sake. Amen.